Good evening. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. You know, we've had some history with my battery and my wireless mic running out over the past month or two. So they got me one that they say can last like 8 or 9 hours. I asked them if they wanted me to test that in one sermon. They did not seem to think that was a good idea. So we'll just have to test it over several, I guess. Hebrews chapter 11. We continue tonight in the series in Hebrews 11, Living by Faith. You know, and of all the issues that people ask about from the Bible, a large number of them center around worship. Questions like, why can't we have instruments in the worship? Can women teach, preach, lead prayer, or lead singing in the assembly? Are we to lift our hands up above our heads during the worship time? Why do we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Can we have solos? Can we have entertainment type activities during the worship service? And many others. Those are just a few ones that you hear asked. And we will not even attempt, and you know, the purpose of the lesson is not the attempt to answer those tonight. But we will consider principles that a person can take and use in their diligent study of God's Word to come to those answers. Because ultimately, it's not about what Nathan thinks or the elders think. It's ultimately about what God says. And so the answers are for each and every one of us. They're not for any exclusive group of people. They are there for us to find. You know, as we continue this Living by Faith series from Hebrews 11, I want us to consider verse 4 tonight. I want us to consider Abel. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Last week we saw that by convicted faith, we believe that God created all things. Now that is necessary, a necessary lead into this verse. Because God created all things, and we believe that by faith, even though we didn't see it, it is the evidence of what we have not seen. Because we believe that God created all that is in the universe, including us, that makes God the sole being worthy of worship. And so as we go into this verse about Abel, and this verse is about worship. The manner in which Abel did it, you know, Abel shows us what acceptable worship to God is. And so Abel ultimately worshiped that which was worthy, and that is God. And anything else that we worship would be worshiping something that is not worthy. Well, by faith it says Abel offered a better sacrifice. Abel offered his sacrifice, in other words, and his worship to God in the manner which God had commanded. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where it comes from. If we do it by faith, we do it by the Word of God, according to the Word of God. That is the only way that a person can do something by faith. Now, Cain, you know, when we look back to Genesis chapter 4, Cain would be the opposite. A man who apparently worshiped God using what he thought would be okay, using what he wanted to do in some other way. He used his way instead of God's way. And this self-determined worship, as we see in that narrative, was not accepted by God. Now, most of the time, we spend all of our time in that story, you know, about the murder that comes afterwards, Cain's anger. But it really all begins with false worship. It all begins with, well, true and false worship. Right there next to each other, one is accepted, one is not. And that's still God today. Cain's anger was not, it was about the fact that God accepted Abel and did not, but see, he did not do what God wanted him to do. One way that we see God accepting sacrifices numerous times in the Bible is by sending down fire. We see that with Elijah on Mount Carmel, right, that he sent down fire and he consumed the sacrifice. We see that numerous times in the Old Testament that that is how God showed his acceptance of some particular sacrifices, that he would send down fire and consume it. We don't know exactly how God, at this in this particular narrative, was accepting the sacrifice, but it was obviously something very clear that Cain could see that Abel's was and his wasn't. And so, in this particular case, God leaving Cain's sacrifice in whatever manner that showed that it was not accepted was a clear indication of God's displeasure with his worship. Now, God does not provide such an obvious sign for us today, does he? I mean, we don't have, I see that little green light back there all the time. You know, the green light doesn't come on when we're doing right and go off when we're not doing right, right? That would be good. We'd have to, we need a lot of green lights. You know, we don't have an obvious sign like that today in our worship. Yet, let us not think that because God does not necessarily show it in some visible manner, that God is any less pleased or any more pleased with not worshiping in some other way than what he has said. It still causes great displeasure with God. God doesn't change. God is the same today that he was when he accepted Abel's and refused Cain's, that because Abel's was according to his will and Cain's was not. Well, think about some New Testament texts that would tell us this as well. Mark chapter 7 and verses 6 through 8, Jesus quoting Isaiah 29 and 13 says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." And so here you see that Jesus Christ addressing the Jews, and Isaiah was addressing the same group of people in his day. He says, you come to me and you act like you're worshiping me, but ultimately you're not doing what I ask. And you have replaced me with the tradition of men. And that shows that your heart's far from me. We go to John chapter 4 and verse 24, where Jesus tells the woman at the well that God is a spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to understand that word must there, same word that we see in chapter 3 when he says that if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Same word, that is a Greek word that means non-negotiable teaching. God is not putting this out there for us to negotiate with him. He's not putting it out there as an option for us. It is what it is, and it's not negotiable. And so we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we must worship God according to the truth as we take that aspect, which is what we're looking at right at this moment. Note that Abel was considered righteous in the verse. He was considered righteous by God because of his worship by faith. Well, now, a person cannot be saved without this righteousness. Therefore, if a person vainly worships God, as Jesus condemned the Jews for doing, there is not, if they vainly worship, trying to worship him in a way other than what he has commanded, their heart, according to Isaiah and according to Jesus Christ, is far from God. You know, I know some people think that some of the innovations that they have stuck into worship services or made a part of worship has made them closer to God. I've heard people say that to me. Well, that made me feel closer to God. No, it doesn't. It may make you feel closer to God, but your heart is far from him because you have replaced what he said with what you said. And so it doesn't really matter how you feel. It does. Your feeling is not necessarily a natural indicator of where you are spiritually or where you are in relation to God. God's word is the indicator for where you are in relation to him. Their heart is far from him if we add things to worship other than what the Bible says. And not only are we far from them, our worship will not be accepted any more than Cain's was. It is vain. It's worthless, in other words. So we can sing, we can do whatever we're doing, but if we add things that are not in keeping with God's word, it's worthless. We're not accomplishing anything. You know, our worship, we have to ask ourselves, as the verse continues on to show us that Abel's offering of faith was testified about by God, so that even after Abel was dead, he still speaks to us to remind us to worship God in the right way, according to God's way. You know, he even says that Abel speaks to us from the dead by faith. Well, it's the same faith, isn't it? By the word of God. That's how I know about it. I couldn't tell you about Abel tonight if it wasn't by the faith presented in God's word. And so he still speaks to us. And God leaves Abel as a testimony of one who worships right. And so we have to ask ourselves, in light of such understanding, are we worshiping God by faith? And the answer to that can only be determined by examining the truth. And we can think about a few examples, and just this is certainly not any kind of a exhaustive list. It will address some of the ones that we talked about earlier. The Bible tells us that we are to sing with our lips. We are to sing from our hearts. We are to sing with understanding. And that is the only aspects of music that the New Testament ever mentions. That's it. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Hebrews 13:15 would cover all of those things. And there is nothing about clapping. So to add that to worship to God, to singing praises to God, would be something that came from man, not from God. Because it's not in this book. Not in this book, it's not from God. These are God's words. And so if we add that which is not in God's word, we add something from man, a tradition of man, instead of doing what God says by faith. And that makes our worship vain. That makes it something other than what God commands. There is nothing about instruments. So that would as well come from man. Would not be from God, and therefore not by faith. There is nothing about nonverbal sounds that have no meaning. Remember, 1 Corinthians tells us we sing with the understanding. So, you know, when people want a beatbox or whatever that's called, right? Well, I'm doing it with my mouth, but it has no meaning. The Bible covers that. That you are to sing with the understanding. You can't understand a bunch of spitting and whatever they do. Right? I would demonstrate it for you, but y'all get way too much fun out of it, so I won't do that. And I'm not supposed to do that here, right? So, we need to understand that those kind of sounds are not the sounds that we're to use to praise God. To add those to the worship of God would be to add something for man, because God never asked for it. We partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday because the Holy Spirit directed the first century church to do so, and recorded that action for us. I mean, you know, Holy Spirit just didn't throw verses in for the fun of it. He recorded it for us so that we could see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that they came together on the first day of the week for a purpose: to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. They did that on the first day of the week. So to say that we only take it once a month, well, that leaves 3 to 4 Sundays, depending on how many Sundays you have, at least 3 to 4 Sundays where you didn't do what the Holy Spirit showed, right? Holy Spirit didn't say, well, they were there on the first day of the week of the month, right, to partake of the Lord. Now, He said the first day of the week, and last time I checked, every week has a first day. And so to say, well, we don't have to take it every first day of the week, even though the Spirit gives us a direct example of them taking it the first day of the week, that somehow I don't have to do that, that's from man. That's not the example given to us by Holy Writ, by God. You know, to say that we take it on some other day, that's completely from man. Because there is no instance and no even implication in any shape, fashion, or form that they ever took the Lord's Supper on any day but the Lord's Day. So that would be from man as well. We know that the Scripture shows the use of unleavened bread and grape juice. Anything else would be from man. It would not be from God, and therefore could not be by faith. You know, to make worship a point of entertainment is to remove God from the center place of worship. See, I think we struggle with the word worship. We come to worship as if I'm coming to worship for me. Worship is an action from me to someone else. It's not to you. You're not here to you. You are here, proskuneo, the Greek word for worship, is to throw a kiss. I'm tossing something to God. I'm throwing affection to God, praise to God. It's what you give. It's not what you get. And to make worship a point of entertainment is to remove God from that center place, that place where I'm throwing my affection, proskuneo, and replacing it with me. I'm throwing it to me. I'm entertaining me now. And, you know, we replace it with men's precepts of what's exciting worship. And that just changes all the time, doesn't it? In fact, it just plain gets out of hand, folks. I've I've talked to people that have gone to some of these places, and they just keep pushing, keep pushing, and keep pushing. Even in the denominational world, they are tearing the denominations are tearing themselves apart over those that have now just decided that the worship service is a rock concert, and the denominational people that want the more traditional. So they have the traditional progressive thing going on too. See, they've replaced God with my own desire, my own like. And Jesus said that such would be vain worship, and it would show that those that participated in it had their hearts far from God. See, they're not about God. They're not there for God, or they give God what He asked for. No, they're there for them. And may we never be guilty of that. Because, you know, if we are guilty of that, we cannot be worshiping by faith. Well, when we consider what we should do in worship, we should apply the following requirements. Number one, that there is a command to do it, or a clear example of it being done by the first century church that is shown in the New Testament. And you know, commands, and Danny talked about this, and so I won't spend any time. He talked about this in his last seminar with us. Commands do not have to be a thou shalt. You know, the statement of Scripture saying that something, you know, to do something is a command. And sometimes just showing something being done has a command nature to it as well. Well, also we need to think about, does the action or example have a time frame? There are things that are time sensitive in the Bible. There are things to be done on the first day of the week. To partake of the Lord's Supper is to be done on the first day of the week. We are to assemble on the first day of the week together. Those are examples that we clearly have in the Scriptures of Christians doing those things, and we are to model ourselves after that as well. So those things are time sensitive. They have a time and a place, or a time in which we are to do that together. We must also make certain that what we are reading is not symbolic of something else like raising hands and sinners washing their hands, because that symbolism would preclude it from being an actual act. You know, I love that people always talk about, you know, lifting up holy hands, and they want to do that, but what they don't ever go actually read the text, I don't think, because it says men. And yet I see a lot of ladies doing it too. It says men lifting up holy hands, right? You ladies are not allowed, if that's real. I mean, if that's a literal act. And why have we never had anybody that's baptized or somebody that comes forward and repents of sin? Why do we not make them wash their hands? As James said, wash your hands, you sinners. We need to understand. Now, I don't have anybody asking to do that one. I don't know why washing hands we don't want to do and raising hands we do. See, hands are your work. That's what you do. You know, we talk about having blood on your hands, right? You've done something. You've hurt someone else, right? Hands are your life. It's what you do with your life. You're going to come before God in prayer, as Paul's talking to Timothy. You lift up, you show holy hands, a holy life before God. Don't come before Him in prayer, having lived however you want to live, and think God's going to be fooled. You make sure you're right when you come before God. Wash your hands, you sinners, you know. If you're turning away from sin, wash that out of your life, right? Get it off your hands so you can have holy hands. These are not literal actions. And so should not be taken as authoritative actions that we should emulate in a worship service. They're talking about symbolic things. Well, we must always remember that worship is about God. I mean, at the end of the day, that's it. And if worship bores us, it is a reflection of us. It is a reflection of our faith and not the need for more exciting worship. That's the problem. We don't want to accept that blame on ourselves, do we? It's always easier to say, hey, let's spice it up, because obviously if it's boring, there must be something wrong with our worship service. It's easier to say that than say there's something wrong with me spiritually. But ultimately that's the case. Because how can you ever be bored worshiping the God that saved you? I don't understand that. I don't know why anybody has to be pepped up to come and to think about Jesus Christ who died for them. Why in the world? See, there's a problem with us, if that's the case, not with God or His Word or His worship. Artificially produced excitement, well, that's just hypocrisy. It's an outward expression of something that doesn't exist within you. And that is what Jesus Christ defines as hypocrisy. May we always hear the speaking of Abel. in God's Word, calling us to true worship by faith. You see, such worship will never leave us lacking because God will bless it and God will approve it. Not man, God. See, don't misunderstand me. When I say it's all about God and it's not about you, you do get something from it, though. When you come and you give your all to God, that's going to build you up. That's going to strengthen you. That's going to make you stronger as a Christian. But you don't come for that purpose. You still come for Him, and He blesses you with those things. So our text, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. In worship, as we think about it, God is all I need. In worship, God is all I want. In worship, God's way is the only way I want to go. You know, when we have that mentality, when that is what exists within us when we come to God to worship, then it will be said of us, by faith I offered to God an acceptable sacrifice, and He saw me as righteous as a result. That's what I want said. You know, when we come here together and we gather together, that's, I pray that that is what is, you know, said by God. That's acceptable. That He approves of it. And then He looks down upon each of us and imputes, gives to us righteousness. Because we need it. And we desire it as Christians. This evening, if you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity to come to that God that's worthy of worship, that God that is worthy of everything in your life. Why? Because He made you. Why? Because He loves you. Why? Because He sent His Son to die for you. Do I need to list any others? I got a few more. But really, after those, what's left? He sent His Son to die for you. Come to Him. He's worth it. A lot of people in this world aren't worth giving your, you know, time and energy to. But God is worth every ounce of your time and every ounce of your energy because He has done so much for you already. Respond to that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe your worship has not been what it should be. Maybe it's been vain. Maybe you've been bored because you've not realized that something's broken you. Fix it. Turn to God's Word that you might, as Abel did, worship God, offer to Him sacrifices that are by faith and therefore approved by Him that you might be righteous. We can assist you in that in any way. If you have a spiritual need, we hope and pray that you will come as we stand and as we sing.